Please be seated. In 2011 was the 400th anniversary of the first printing of the King James Version of the Bible. To mark the occasion, the entire King James Version was read here at Christ Church Cathedral. It was a marvelous experience. Listening to the text read aloud in Elizabethan language was to find oneself invited into Scripture differently. The poetry and the musicality of the language was truly captivating. It highlighted the rhythmic beauty and poetry that we can find in Scripture. And the Beatitudes are, of course, a prime example of this poetic rhythm. Perhaps the best known is in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, and so on. Blessing and reward, poetry and rhythm. And this similar pattern is to be found in today's reading from Luke. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessings and reward, poetry and rhythm. Luke offers something different from Matthew by suggesting a counterpoint. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe for those already living in the previously mentioned blessings. Beyond the beauty of the poetry, I find the words disturbing. If life were truly that simple, if you are good, then you will be rewarded. If you have already been rewarded, then you will experience loss and suffering. This duality, no matter how poetic, can cause one to gloss over what I think may be the meaning and intent of this text. So, it is said that inspiration, because I was struggling with this, can come in unexpected ways. And it was so in my case. It was in the search for a grandchild's birthday present that I stumbled on an image which points beyond the apparent duality in this passage. Now don't laugh. It was a Lego kit version of M.C. Escher's lithograph, Relativity. Meant for children, but I'm not certain that a child perhaps could manage it. For those of you unfamiliar with Escher, he was a Dutch artist who is remembered for his complex and gravity-challenging lithographs. Some of you may be familiar with his famous piece, the enigmatic picture of two hands drawing each other into reality. Relativity is somewhat less well known. For those of you who might be unfamiliar with the piece, let me attempt to describe it. At first glance, the picture appears to be the interior of a complex building. It is as if the side of the building has been cut away so that the viewer can see in. As one looks more closely, it becomes apparent that the stairways and landings in the building go in different directions. What logically ought to go up goes sideways or down. And the outside is built into the inside. Human figures can be seen going about their daily tasks, walking along hallways, climbing stairs, preparing to serve customers, resting on benches, lovers enjoying the outdoors, or a family picnicking outside. Yet the routes that they travel are not always in relation to each other. Staircases can move imperceptibly from down to sideways or up. Yet the figures seem to calmly move between differing dimensions as though this were normal. And while this description may make the picture seem chaotic, it is not. It is orderly and it is beautiful. Things are balanced and yet manage to challenge the very concept of balance. Musician Steve Taylor wrote of Escher's art, "Up is down, down is out, stairways circle back to where you may have been. Time falls, water crawls. In this world, birds roar, lions soar, sheep are cruel, snails pace, papers chase. I have seen the light through Braille. We're living Escher's world. It seems we are wide awake within our dreams." Escher's portrayals move beyond dualistic thinking into a world where the expected disappears, and the unexpected, the multi-directional, offers a kind of terrible beauty, the beauty of transformation. I would like to suggest that in these four Beatitudes and four woes, Jesus is provoking the crowd to consider going down an Escherian path. They were on the cusp of something different, a transformational opportunity. They had experienced unexpected compassion through healing. Those words of comfort and challenge, I believe, were not merely pointing to good versus evil. They were being led down a path, they were not being led down a path of duality, which leads to judgment, rarely love. To add strength to this understanding, one commentator notes the Greek word used for blessed is far too sedate of a translation. He suggests a better translation might be, "Congratulations," or "You lucky person." It is expansive rather than self-centered. Imagine how the phrase might sound today. "Congratulations, you're poor," or "You lucky person, you are crying now." The word woe is interesting as well. The Greek word for woe was an exclamation of grief and could be translated as "alas" or "how dreadful for you." So that could go, "how dreadful for you, you are rich," or "alas, you're laughing now." One author even goes so far as to suggest that Jesus is teasing or being mildly sarcastic in this passage. When we look at our own lives, each of us have had times of laughter, times of sadness, times of hunger, and times of being well fed. It really is a false dichotomy to separate them. These blessings and woes encapsulate what it is to be human, what it is to experience the many facets of our spiritual journey. And it affirms the presence of God through all of our blessings and woes. We are called to be aware of the other. We are called to refrain from separating ourselves from others, whether through our wealth or our hunger. One of the things that I have learned from those who might be seen as the marginalized, and just a side note here, that is a word I've come to strongly dislike. But for the moment, we'll say those who are food insecure, those who live in poverty, those who are addicted, those who are disliked, discarded by society. For the majority of those people, which includes us in some ways, for the majority of them, there is a belief in the importance and the value of another human being, irrespective of how they are living their lives at the moment. I have heard many people say, well, so-and-so might be traveling in a different direction for now, but we have hope. And we are moving together with all within the same picture. We will hope for them because they are seeking the same things as you or I. They are seeking grace. The crowd who were listening to Jesus that day experienced compassion and unrestricted healing. He challenged them with his teachings. Those who had received compassion and the blessing of healing were not to live in a world that pointed to people and said, you are to be pitied or you are to be shunned. Instead, they were to be voices who proclaimed the stories of God's love. Escher's art, not necessarily the Lego version, might be seen as another window through which one might catch glimpses of the kingdom, challenging us, as Jesus did, not to seek the expected, but to search for the light in the Braille, traveling the unpredictable hallways and stairways, with the knowledge all paths lead to the one who offers unending love and compassion. Amen.